Then these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, burned against Job. His anger burned because he justified himself before God. And his anger burned against his three friends because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were years older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, his anger burned. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, spoke out and said, "I am young in years and you are old. Therefore I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak and increased years should teach wisdom. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. The abundant in years may not be wise, nor may elders understand justice. So I say, listen to me, I too will tell you what I think. Behold, I waited for your words, I listened to your reasonings, while you pondered what to say. I even paid close attention to you. Indeed, there was no one who refuted Job, not one of you who answered his words. Do not say, 'We have found wisdom.' God will rout him, not man. For he has not arranged his words against me, nor will I reply to him with your arguments. They are dismayed. They no longer answer. Words have failed them. Shall I wait because they do not speak, because they stop and no longer answer? I too will answer my share. I also will tell my opinion. For I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like unvented wine, like new wineskins. It is about to burst. Let me speak that I may get relief. Let me open my lips and answer. Let me now be partial to no man, nor flatter anyone. For I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away." 2 weeks ago, I spoke from Job chapter 33 and I explained much of the background to the character of Elihu 2 weeks ago. And I would ask you, if you encourage you, if you want to hear more about Elihu, that you go to our website and that you actually listen to what I had to say 2 weeks ago. From chapter 33. I'm going to go back a chapter which may be slightly unusual, because it's in this chapter that Elihu introduces himself and begins to give the basis for the arguments that he's going to bring to Job and to his friends. God answers Job's situation directly, speaks to Job directly. In chapters 38 to 41, this is the oldest book in Scripture. And there's much here that we need to take note of if we're going to have a complete or more complete understanding of God and who he is. So God answers Job in chapters 38 to 41. And then in chapter 42, God speaks to the three friends who have been bringing something of argument and reasoning against Job to try and meet his particular situation. It is significant that God does not rebuke Elihu for anything that he says. Neither does God rebuke the friends, I beg your pardon, nor do the friends have anything to say by way of correcting Elihu, nor does Job have anything to say in reply to him. All are listening to him, and Elihu actually gives Job the opportunity to comment at various points. For example, chapter 33, the last few verses. Elihu says to Job, "Then if you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you." And that shows us really the character of this man. He's not coming as an enemy to Job. He's coming because he wants to justify him. So for these reasons and many others, not least the fact that Elihu's name means my God is he, or my God himself, I would suggest to you that Elihu is actually a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, he is someone that we can all learn from. So in this introductory chapter, what I want to do is to look at something of his character and then something of how he handles Job and the friends. I found it a bit difficult to kind of give a title, but really I want to speak to you all. I want to speak maybe to one person in particular. This is how to conduct yourself as an elder within the fellowship of God's people. But I want to speak to us all because there are many of us who are in our twilight years, shall we say, getting on a bit. And there's much here that we can learn from in what he has to say to us. And for some of you younger ones, the title I put for this really, particularly perhaps since for you folks, is Aspiring to Maturity. Elihu represents somebody that we can learn from and aspire to become like. So let's just look at the situation in particular. Verses 1 to 5, the friends have come to an end of what they say, and Job is righteous in his own eyes. He refers to this in verses 15 to 17. They are dismayed. The friends are dismayed. They no longer answer. Words have failed them. Now, Elihu has been listening to this conversation all this time. It is significant, in my estimation anyway, that the three friends, as far as they're concerned, he's an irrelevance. They ignore him. And if I'm right that Elihu is a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is in many respects how many of us regard the Lord Jesus. That he's an irrelevance. He's somebody that we don't listen to. And they ignore him until this point. I think it's also significant that Elihu waits to speak. And how gracious he is, how modest he is, how humble he is. He waits until words have failed. And this is just like God's dealings with us. And some of you may be, as it were, itching for God to intervene, itching to hear from God, itching to have some kind of revelation from God. And God very often waits. He knows the right time to speak to us, and he knows the right time to bring us understanding. And it's very often when we come to an end of ourselves, an end of our own arguments. So, young people in particular, notice how Elihu handles the elderly. Verse 6, I am young in years and you are old. Therefore, I was shy or I was fearful. He was reticent. And by shy, please, I'm not saying that you should go around saying, oh, really? And sort of put on a kind of an air of humility or something. All I'm saying is just hold yourself back. It is a mark of youth. Believe me, I was there once. That we actually think that we know everything. And so therefore we are itching to give our tuppenny worth of opinion, and we want to tell everybody what we think and our particular view. Would you notice that Elihu doesn't do that? He could have barged in, but he doesn't do that. He waits until everybody else has said their bit, and then he says, I was shy and afraid to tell you what I was thinking. But he eventually does bring to Job something of his counsel. The letter to James in the New Testament says this: for this reason, let everybody, so not just the young but us all, let everybody be swift to hear and slow to speak. And we all, I would think, need to take note of that counsel from James, the apostle. Verse 7. Why is Elihu holding himself back? Because he thinks that age and experience should give time for thought and should help us to perceive things, help us to understand things. And that is true. But, as he says in verse 9, the old, the elderly, the twilight years folk, are not necessarily going to be wise. Nor may elders understand justice. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13, I think from memory, says it's better to be it's better to be a wise and poor child than to be an old and foolish king. And how tragic it is when those who are older in years should have been taught by the Lord, should have learned certain things, and actually at the end of their years they are simply foolish. The old are not necessarily wiser. And so the elders need to learn from the younger. And that is part of what Elihu brings to them. And so verse 10, he says, "So I say, listen to me, I too will tell you what I think." So younger ones, you need to be patient with us who are a little bit older, but there is a time, and us who are older need to listen to what you have to say. That's part of Elihu's character, and I think we could do well to take his advice. The friends here needed to be willing to listen to Elihu, and Elihu had to be willing to listen to the views of these three friends, even though he was probably champing at the bit and saying they were wrong, and he was probably cross with their manner and how they were bringing across their wisdom, in inverted commas, to Job. And we need to be wise. We may not agree with other people, but we need to be careful and able to hold ourselves back. It's part of earning the right to speak. And also so that we can then answer the various points that are raised. So just all this is really by way of introduction, really. Verse 13, how were these friends wrong? Just have a quick look. I mean, this is by way of an introduction before Elihu in the next chapter begins to address Job directly. And then in verse 13, he says to these friends, "Do not say, we have found wisdom." So part of their failure was that they actually thought they had got it all. And friends, it's very easy for some of us to think that we have got it all, that we know everything, not just the younger ones. We can all do it. We need to be very careful that we don't find ourselves being foolish, really. We have found wisdom. In what way were they wrong? They were wrong because they assumed that God was the enemy of Job, that he was out to do Job down. And in that, they were wrong. And so they completely misunderstood the dealings of God with this man. Friends, we need to be very careful if we're going to bring counsel and comfort and help to people, that we, above all else, seek to understand what God is doing in any particular situation. And if we do, that is the mark of an elder. That is the mark of somebody who genuinely has spiritual maturity. And if you are aspiring to maturity, keep your mouth shut, zip it up, and begin to pray and say, "Oh God, please show me how you see this person. Show me how you see this situation. What is it that you are doing here?" The friends thought that that God was the enemy of Job and just seeking to cast him down. But will you notice that the friends also say, "God will rout him and not man." I've seen this occasionally with people. I think I may have even done it myself. Maybe in some cases it's right. There are certain people we have to leave with God. God will deal with them. And we can argue and discuss to our heart's content, but actually we just need to say, "Lord, it's over to you." There's a time for that. But I think these friends here were using it as a kind of, they were using God to sort of patronize their own pride and their own views. So they were saying, "God will deal with him," in a kind of rather arrogant way. Don't let's put it on God to make up for our own failures and our own inabilities. But will you notice what Elihu says in verse 14? Elihu says that he is not Job's enemy either. He has not arranged his words against me. And Elihu is also saying, look, Job, it's not me you're talking about here. It's not me that you're talking to. And I am not going to reply to Job with your arguments. Elihu was going to try and manage the dispute better. And part of that was going to be listening to the friends. Part of that was going to be looking for opportunity to gain some kind of response. And the fact that he got no response from Job and no response from the friends gave him permission then to go on. Well, these are very instructive things, I think. So what are the two things in particular that we can learn from Elihu? First of all, something of his character, and secondly, something from his attitude, and particularly how he handles Job and these three friends. First of all, verse 8, and a little bit later on as well. It is from verse 18. So verse 8, first of all, it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. So this applies to us all. Where does wisdom come from? Where does the knowledge of God come from? Does it come from experience? It can do, but not necessarily. Does it come from human philosophies? No, it doesn't. The only way to obtain wisdom, the only way to obtain instruction is by the Spirit of God in us. It is God alone who gives us understanding. It is God alone who gives us revelation. So when you come to the scriptures, when you come to prayer, when you're seeking to understand what is going on either in a person's life or in a situation, don't come with your own views and think you know it all. Don't come with your own philosophies and your own reasonings. Submit yourself to God and say, oh God, please give me understanding. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He is able to give you understanding. I don't think it was too long ago that we read the letter, part of the letter of Paul in the to the Ephesians, where he prays that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and understanding so that they might know the Lord. And friends, it is possible to know God. It is possible to know the ways of God. It is possible to come to maturity. Don't think that just because we have been setting aside somebody here in our own assembly, as somebody who is an elder within the assembly, don't sit there and think, oh, well, I can never aspire to that. I can never come to that. You can. If the Spirit of God can teach our brother, he can teach you. He can bring you to maturity as well. And maybe some of you think are sitting, well, I'll never get there. For a start, I'm not a man. Is there a role for me as women? Absolutely there is. And Paul said to Timothy on one occasion, the things I'm imparting to you, you are to commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And you say, well, that's no help because it says commit them to faithful men. Ah, but it does include you, because actually men in that particular verse means mankind. It includes the women. So God is wanting to commit to you as a lady so that you might be able to teach other women, usually. Not in the context of the church. Eldership is male. But there are plenty of opportunities, plenty of other platforms in which you may be able to teach. Need I remind you as an example that my wife and I went to Kenya and Fiona took the ladies' meetings twice a day for about 5 days. And she taught them. How could she teach them if she didn't know the word of God for herself? How could she teach them unless the Spirit of God had taught her as well? The same God who taught her can teach you as well. That's a word for the ladies. But it's the Spirit of God who can teach you. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? That's the question. And so in verse 18, he says, I am full of words. And I really don't think this means he's full of his own opinion. He has been waiting. He has been listening to dubious arguments to deal with these three men. And that's part of eldership. Sometimes we have to listen and not say anything, at least for a while. But here, there comes a point, he says, I'm full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Isn't this what the psalmist says on one occasion? He says, the fire burned. As I was musing, the fire burned. And you know, as the Spirit of God teaches you, as you muse on the things of God, as you ponder and meditate in the scriptures, the Spirit of God can begin to burn his word into your heart. And that's what people need to hear, not your own opinions. I'm full of words. Behold my belly. My innermost being is like unvented wine. Didn't Jesus say that if you are thirsty, you may come to him and drink, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water? Are you thirsty for this kind of wine? The wine here is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And you as a person can be like a new wineskin. And a new wineskin is notable for its flexibility and for its responsiveness. Of course, if you're the sort of person who's so adamant in your own views and your opinions that you are utterly unshiftable and unmovable, the Lord won't give you the new wine. How can he? If you pour new wine to old wineskins, there's chaos, the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 5 and the end of that chapter, verses 37 to 39. We need to be flexible and responsive. I believe that is what Elihu was. That is what he's saying. And so he's allowing the Holy Spirit to give him the words to speak. And at this point he's saying, I need to speak. Let me speak that I may get relief. Let me open my lips and answer. Jeremiah found exactly the same thing. Poor old Jeremiah. Every time he opened his mouth with a word from the Lord, he got it in the neck, didn't he? And so eventually, chapter 20, he says, I'm not going to say anything. Better keep quiet. And so he keeps quiet. But within him, eventually he could hold himself he couldn't hold himself back any longer, because the word of God was like a fire in his belly. Or words to that effect. I forget exactly what it is. So friends, it is the Spirit of God who can teach you. It is the Spirit of God who can give you the words. Let him teach you. Let him give you his word. And it's on that basis that Elihu speaks. So Elihu understands that. And that is his character. He doesn't seek to come with his own opinion. He seeks to come as somebody who is taught by the Lord. If he is a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's instructive, I think, just to remember these words, which I think come from the prophecy of Isaiah. They do. I'm just trying to remember what the chapter is. You'll have to look at it for yourself. Where has it gone? Give me just a moment. I can remember it's on the left-hand page, somewhere at the bottom. You probably know exactly what I mean. Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord has given me, verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of disciples. Somebody who's willing to learn. Now, friends, this is the Lord Jesus Christ who's speaking. That I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. I'm saying it's the Lord Jesus. It's Isaiah who's speaking as a prophet, but it's a messianic prophet. So what this is really saying is that the Lord Jesus in his body, in his earthly form, had submitted himself to learning from the Father. So he wakens me morning by morning. So every morning, the Son of God had his ear opened. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. If anybody you would have thought would know it all and had the right to speak, it would be the Lord Jesus, wouldn't it? And yet he says in John's Gospel, I only speak what the Father gives me to speak. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. The prophecy, and that's of course exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus before he was crucified. The Lord opened his ear. Friends, if the Lord opened his ear, he can open yours. And how much more should he do so? So back to Job chapter 32. Elihu's attitude, secondly and finally. What does he understand? He understands at the end of the chapter that God does not flatter. Psalm 12 and verse 3 reads like this. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. So with Elihu in verse 21, he says, let me now be partial to no man. I'm not going to flatter anybody. He could have flattered Job, but it wouldn't have been helpful. There's a scripture in Exodus 23 in verse 3 that says we're not to countenance the poor in his cause because he is poor. So if we see somebody who's really going through it, just because he's really going through it or she's going really through it, we mustn't immediately come with our sympathy and flatter them and say to them, everything will be all right. Or come with false words of comfort or come with false words of sympathy. It's no help to them. Elihu could have tried his best to be a comforter in human terms, as the three friends had tried to comfort Job, but it wouldn't have helped him. And friends, we, in our dealings with each other, particularly those who are really going through it and seem to be empty of any kind of human resources, we must be very careful not to flatter them, not to give them false reassurance. Let me now be partial to no man, nor flatter anyone, he says. Don't favour the poor simply because they're poor. We mustn't be moved by sympathy simply to ease people's pain. But equally well, we mustn't defer to the wealth and position of others. Verse 22, I do not know how to flatter. Well, good for you, Elihu. We need to learn how not to flatter as well. And, you know, these three friends, they were people of some reputation and some wealth and some substance. They weren't just Job's pals from down the road and sort of, you know, non-entities in the community. They were pillars of the community. They were important people. And Elihu, you would have thought, would have deferred to them and perhaps toned down his comments eventually because, well, you know, you mustn't speak evil of your elders and you've got to honour those, etc. No, yes, we have to honour people. But we need to handle them properly, and flattery is not the way to do it. It wouldn't have been helpful to the friends. Friends, we must, if we're going to be aspiring to maturity, elders within the assembly, folk of some stature spiritually, we need to make sure that we don't flatter. Otherwise, be careful. Look what it says. My maker would soon take me away. God has a way of removing us out of the picture. Not necessarily that you'll die, but just simply that God will put you to one side. We were praying for Neil on Wednesday evening, and I prayed that the Lord would lay him aside. I didn't mean that. I meant that he would be set aside. But God can lay aside as well. Take the warning. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips, says the psalmist, and the tongue that speaks proud things. Well, friends, that's really by way of an introduction to what Elihu has to bring, both to Job and to the friends. Do you aspire to this kind of maturity? Do you want to know how to handle people? I would suggest to you that Elihu is a very good role model for you. You younger ones, don't let the elder ones dismiss you for your youth. but make sure you really do come to real wisdom and real maturity in the Lord. Older ones, don't think just because you've been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years that you know it all. You're telling now you don't. I don't. Let's be humble enough to learn from any whom God may have taught. And let's be those who learn and indeed are able to come alongside people and bring genuine spiritual counsel. And above all, bring something of the reflection of the Lord Jesus to those that really need it. And if you don't know the Lord, God is able to teach you. God is able to show himself to you. You just need to reach out to him and ask him. And you need to be willing to humble yourself. Let's pray.